Well, it's good to be here again. We've started on a series on the parables of Luke, and this is the second one we're looking at tonight. Now, we just heard about Jesus at a dinner, and he gives a parable about a banquet. To set it up a little for you, let's have a look at exactly what he was doing at the banquet or the dinner in the first place. Religion was an integral part of Jewish society. You didn't have religion and community, it was all in together. And the Pharisees were a religious group, a small group in fact, but very important and very influential. And their attitude was that the law that Moses had given the people was the most important thing, and their real priority was to make sure that they followed their interpretation of that law. They had to get it right to make sure they pleased God and didn't do anything wrong that would displease God. And they were trying to get everyone to follow their set of rules. This brought them into conflict with Jesus because although Jesus thought the law was good, he didn't necessarily agree with their interpretations. And he was more concerned with the principle of what the law was about rather than their strict legalistic approach to things. But what we've got here is that one of the leaders of the Pharisees, so a very important man in his community, and I believe this was in Jerusalem, so very important man, has invited Jesus for dinner. And there's a whole bunch of other leaders of the Pharisees, so a group of very important men, here they're having dinner with Jesus. And the custom then, of course, was that the host would invite the guest of honour to sit beside him, and then all the others would sit from there down in order of status. Most important sitting closest to the top of the table, least important down the other end. And so what happens here is that Jesus noticed what's going on. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place. And so in the parable, we have this picture of a man who's arrived at the banquet, sits right up near the top of the table, one of the best seats, right near the host, but then having taken his seat, the guest tells him someone really important's turned up, you're going to have to go right down the other end. And he has the walk of shame, right down, sits in the bottom seat. Now imagine if that happened in Australia, some of the comments you might get from the guests, you know, oh, who does he think he is? Getting a bit ahead of himself? Couldn't happen to a nicer bloke? You probably imagine some things that I wouldn't want to repeat, but Australians very much have taken to heart this idea of not getting ahead of yourself, not putting yourself in the best position. The thing about Jesus' parables is they usually work for his audience because he shocked them. He said things that turned society upside down. Think for a minute about the parable of the prodigal son. Do we all know that? Starts with a father who has two sons. The younger son comes to him and says, I'd like my inheritance, please. Now, who was shocked the first time they heard that? Not getting much response. Okay. I remember hearing a missionary who'd spent time in Pakistan. He said he was in a small village, and the first time he ever told that parable, he got to that bit about the son coming and asking for his inheritance, and there were cries of shock and even anger. They were totally amazed, shocked, horrified that a son would be so disrespectful to his father. You see, they lived in a community where inheritance was important. The father passed on to the son, and they understood that when you ask for your inheritance, basically what you're saying is, I wish you were dead, I just want my stuff. That's what it's about. It was shocking. So much of Jesus' parables turn things upside down. And so we often miss that emotional impact that some of the things he would have said. We might not necessarily get what's going on in this parable. This idea of jockeying for position, most important person at the top of the table, sitting in order of social precedence, that doesn't happen very often. You probably have to be having dinner with the Queen or the Governor General to worry about it. Jesus uses the example of a wedding feast, which was where the whole community came together, and the most important people would sit at the top. When we plan a wedding, Well, you've got the bridal table and the parents of the bride and the groom. But probably the biggest concern is just that Uncle Jack doesn't sit with Aunt Maisie because they've been fighting for the last 30 years. And you're not really worried about who's the most important in society, who's got the highest status. So it's not something that really is ingrained in us, that we're shocked at this idea of people being moved around or sitting at the bottom of the table. We like to think we're an egalitarian society. Everyone's pretty much equal with everyone else. And in fact, we've pretty much embraced the idea of this parable. Really, no one's allowed to get ahead of themselves. You can't puff yourself up and take pride in what you've done, or someone's going to tear you down. In fact, sometimes our tall poppy syndrome goes to the extreme where someone who's done something really good is still ripped to pieces because we don't like people pushing themselves ahead. Doesn't matter how humble you are. Now, there are cultures around the world that would get the message fairly easily. I thought of Japan, for example. In Japan, social status is fairly important. People greet one another with a bow, not a handshake. And particularly in the business, it's very important to know the status of the people you're working with. You bow to one another, and the degree of your bow will depend on how important you are in relation to the other person. If the other person's your boss or particularly head of the company, you'll be bowing fairly low. They might incline slightly towards you. And in fact, if you get it wrong, that can be highly embarrassing. You bow not enough, you're disrespectful. You bow too low and you're actually humbling yourself, making yourself appear to be lower than you are. And of course, in Japanese society, social embarrassment, what they would call loss of face, is something to be avoided at all costs. You don't want to embarrass yourself. You want to make sure that people respect you. So I think the Japanese would understand the message fairly quickly and easily. It's all about social position, where your status is, avoiding embarrassment. They might not necessarily like the other idea of starting at the bottom of the table, though, with what he said. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he'll say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you'll be honoured in the presence of all the other guests. Now, this part of the parable might appear at first reading to be perhaps a good trick to get social recognition. You come in, you sit right down the bottom of the table, in front of everyone, the host comes down and says, "This isn't your spot, you're more important than that, come right up." And so in front of all the people, you're raised to a higher position. That's what it sounds like. Rather though, we should be noting that honour has not been conferred by the people around the table. It's not something we bestow on ourselves. The honour is actually bestowed by the host. It's the host who is deciding who's more important, whether you sit at the bottom of the table or the top of the table. It's his choice. And in the kingdom of heaven, God's the host. He's the one who decides who receives the honour. Have a think about that. Who do we confer honour on? Would God make the same decisions? In society, who do we honour? Well, we honour sports people. We honour actors and musicians. The Kardashians seem to show up quite a bit. I'm not quite sure why we're honouring them so much. And often we look at them and they're really not worthy of the honour we bestow on them. Over and over in the news you see sports people who have been raised up as pillars of the community, role models, and they fail. Actors and musicians who you think are wonderful and then you find out they're not. What about in the church? Who do we honour? And how do we honour them? How do you choose? Do we look at the position people hold? Ministers should be honoured. The bishop gets the most honour. Maybe it's because someone's a great preacher or a great musician, has written songs that we like to sing. Or maybe it's academic achievement, someone who's a great Bible scholar. Or maybe they've been running a ministry that seemed to be important. So we look perhaps at what people are doing and how important they seem to be. Is that how we confer honour on them? The question though is, who would God be wanting to honour? The verses immediately following this parable give us a bit of a hint. So in verses 12 to 14 of Luke, then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back so that you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you'll be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So here's an idea. Finding the homeless, the weak, the poor, inviting them for dinner. When I read those verses, they seem to have a similar theme to our other reading from Matthew's Gospel. Jesus talking about the judgment day, and he says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger and you invited me in, I needed clothes and you clothed me, I was sick and you looked after me, I was in prison and you came to visit me. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And of course he says to the other lot, truly I tell you, whenever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. In that first passage from Luke, Jesus was concerned with the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind. These are things we can't fix, but we can certainly care for the people, and hence that idea of providing them hospitality. In the second, he was concerned with the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the sick, the homeless, the prisoner. Now these are all people with needs, and they're all needs we could meet in caring for people. So Jesus is concerned that we care for people in need, but we need to look a little deeper. Why does he want us to care for them? Think about it. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. When we see the least of these, Jesus expects us to see him. Regardless of who the person is, regardless of their status in society, he wants us to see him. If you see a homeless person on the street, do you see Jesus? If you see an unemployed person desperate to find some work, do you see Jesus? What about the teenage single mum? What about those hooligans in the mall? Or that annoying neighbour who's always doing stuff that drives you crazy? Do you see Jesus when you see them? What about the asylum seeker who's gone on a boat that could have sunk, desperate to find a home? What about the gay person who wants to get married? What about your friends and family? Do we see Jesus in the people we meet? Now, we don't have to be happy with everything that these people do. They're all sinners. But Jesus died for these people, and he called them his brothers and sisters because he loves them and he wants them to come back to him. In just the same way, we're also sinners. He isn't happy with everything we do either. But again, he died for us, and he wants to see us as brothers and sisters. He wants us to see each other as brothers and sisters, and he wants us to see the least of these as our brothers and sisters. Now, this applies to the parable too. Have a think about it. If you're at a dinner, you're concerned about your status in comparison with the other people there. If you look at them and see Jesus, are you going to think you're more important? Are you going to think you should have a higher place? And that's where the true humility comes in. Understanding that before Jesus, we're all equal. No one's any higher. No one's any lower. We shouldn't be putting ourselves ahead of anyone. We should look at these people and see Jesus. At first read of the parable, it seems Jesus wants to change the way we seek social status, to have us thinking a bit different about our position in society. But I think he wants more than that. If you keep reading the rest of chapter 14, and in fact 15, 16, read the rest of the parables, you can see that what he wants is a real change in how we treat people. It's a revolutionary change. He wants us to see all people as he sees them. Worth saving, worth dying for. worth a relationship with. And if we go back and think about who God would honour, chances are it's going to be people we didn't expect. We may find that on Judgment Day, when God's handing out honour, that he picks people we never even noticed. Might be the little old man who came in and cleaned the church every week. Might be the housewife who never appeared to do anything significant, but her home was always open. Didn't matter if you were a neighbour or a stranger. Drink and food, clothing if needed, she was happy to help and provide hospitality. And if you were sick, she'd be across the road with a casserole helping with the cleaning. Might have been the person who's down at the soup kitchen, not just helping out because it's a good thing to do, but getting to know the people, caring for them, seeing Jesus in each of them. This is how we're supposed to see the people we meet. The question is, do we? Do I get to work tomorrow and find that I'm in conflict with someone because they don't have the same idea about how we should get things done? Do I push through my agenda? Or do I actually see them as Jesus? Someone to care for, someone to respect. Work out a better way to do things. So how will you see the people you meet this week? Do we change the way we see the people we interact with? Do we treat them as Jesus, worthy of love and respect? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus and the way he lived. We thank you for the way that he turned society upside down, changing the way that we interact with each other and bringing us all back to you. Help us, Lord, to stop worrying about how important we are and where we fit, but rather to be thankful that we've been saved by you and are back in relationship with you, and to see everyone we meet with the same love you have for them and with the same desire to bring them back to you. And help us to grow, loving one another with that same attitude. In Jesus' name. Amen.